Loud.
Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, forevermore, of fundamental and monumental importance, how are your heads? Guys, what's going on? Listen, thank you so much to everybody who's been listening to the show for the last 3 months. I cannot believe 3 months has gone by, but it's been brilliant. It's been beautiful. I really and truly appreciate your support, and to everybody who's been sending in voice notes each week and helping turn the Weekly Roast into the show that it's becoming. We still have some changes down the line, but for the moment, thank you so much. To everybody who has bought the book, thank you so much. 3 weeks as the number one non-fiction bestseller. I cannot believe it. I was the overall bestseller, number one bestseller for non-fiction in March in Ireland, and it only came out on the 14th. So just do the maths on that for a second. That's 2 weeks, even though the month... So, no, I'm joking, but thank you so much. Genuinely, I am... I was so afraid about doing the book. I won't go on about this, but I was so afraid about publishing the book. I was so afraid about writing it. And I was like, is this going to be the world's largest regret? And so far, at least, it doesn't seem to have been that way. So thank you. I trip myself up when talking about it because it's sort of a weird one, where, especially in the podcast where I haven't figured out which side of myself to show. We'll get there. One day at a time. Guys, thank you so much. To those of you who haven't bought the book, you're thieves. You are lying, cheating thieves. And I'd like you to switch off the podcast now, nip out to your nearest Easons, or even just nip to the link below, the link that is attached to this podcast, and purchase a copy so you can sleep peacefully between the ears and not be laden down with the guilt that you are robbing from Mark and Ciarán, by the way, and Ciarán's pockets directly. Anyway, today we're roasting neighbours, okay? In a sea of twitching curtains and window peepers, worse than East Berlin in 1951. Today we're talking about Ireland and Ireland's brilliant. Ireland's, there's more to Ireland than this. Irish people's relationship with their neighbours, okay? You can't choose your neighbours, but as I always say, neighbours. Everybody needs good neighbours. Just a friendly wave each morning helps to make a better day. Neighbours need to get to know each other better. Next door is only a footstep away. Everybody needs good neighbours. It's the Roast of Neighbours. Let's go.
My flatmates and I had gone to bed for the evening. I don't even think it was a particularly early night. And we were wondering what the racket was outside. And then my friend texts me, look out the window. So I opened up the blind, probably looking like an absolute creeper, to see our adult neighbours playing Star Wars, a battle complete with lightsabers. You couldn't make it up.
I mean... you definitely could, and George Lucas did, and it was called Star Wars. But also, I think this is sort of sweet, you know? There's something very endearing about three complete nerds. No, I'm joking. Ciarán liked that one. There's something endearing about, you know, a bunch of fellas in the garden playing lightsabers. I think I was waiting for, like, the lightsabers to be willies or something. You know, just the brilliant. That's the sort of tone that I'm familiar with this podcast. I don't think that that's that bad. I think fair play. With the lightsabers, like, were they making the noise of the lightsabers themselves? The sort of, you know? Or were they using the plastic variety? Fair play. Like, look, on the litany of offences that neighbours can commit, I think this is mild. This is really, like, this is 3 out of 10. This is not that bad. From a 3 out of 10, let's just skip straight up to, let's just up the ante immediately to a 10 out of 10.
The house next door to us was rented out to a group of teachers for a year. They used to throw used condoms out the back windows, and quite a few of them ended up in our garden.
Good stuff. Is it a bird? No. Is it a plane? No. Is it Miss Muldowney lobbing a semen-filled condom across the hedge? Yes, that's it, exactly. Do you know what I mean? This is madness. It's absolutely grotesque. We had this before. Was it the housemate roast or another roast? What is it with people not knowing how to appropriately dispose of condoms? Also, lobbing them outside, like as if they're water bombs. Sorry, do you ever remember in a water fight growing up? And there'd always be people who didn't have actual water bombs, so they just used balloons. And they'd fill it up with a garden tap around the side of the house. And it would become, like, football-sized. And then it'd be the biggest guy in the street and he'd throw it on you and it wouldn't burst because it's a balloon. So it's like industrial strength rubber, you know, stronger than Durex, and it would just slap off your belly and you'd start crying and everyone would laugh at you then for crying and you'd have to go inside. And they'd be like, oh, why have you gotten a water bomb thrown at your jocks, isolated around your genitals, Mark? It's because I pissed myself with the sadness and the bullying. Yeah, that's disgusting. I feel like this is a scene. This is like the perfect scene in one of those American rom-coms where you decide to have your wedding day in your back garden, okay? And you're lining up with, and the groom is opposite you and it's the most pleasant day ever. There's like a string quartet and your father is just giving you away and you're standing there and then the priest, who happens to be both of your single, unusual, eccentric friend who is also ordained as a minister because that's what they do in films, and he or she is about to begin the proceedings or is in the middle of proceedings even, and says, if there's anybody now, speak now or forever hold your silence. And just then, somersaulting through the air in slow motion, we see this phylactic filled with fluid and it sort of goes circling and everyone's going, no, don't. And everyone has time to react, by the way. Such is the nature of these movies. They're able to look in the air, see the condom going right towards the bride's face until it explodes front and center on the snaz. The semen goes everywhere, hits somehow everybody in the front row as well, the mother of the bride, because the condom was obviously filled with some sort of anyway, on we go.
Hi, Mark. So we had just moved into our new home, delighted with ourselves, and we had spent ages assembling our 43 IKEA flat packs, and our new neighbour called around to get to know us, obviously, and to suss out the place, and asked when the real furniture was going to arrive. The digs continued, and a few months ago, we've been here for quite a while now, but a few months ago, I got a message to let me know that her car had been broken into and that I should check my car. So I did, went out, checked my car, it was all fine, told her this. And she said, well, it was obviously broken. Her car was obviously broken into because it was an Audi and mine was just a Toyota.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I suppose that, no, I'm joking. Like, that is, yeah, pig. It's complete pig. I don't understand people who, like, the lack of subtlety with the shade.
You know when you're out washing your windows or you're washing your car or something and one of the neighbours comes along and like, will you do mine next? Fuck off, Sheila, will you?
Yeah, this is actually, for me, more criminal than the student teachers from Mullingar throwing out the condoms filled with sperm. This is, like, that sort of banter is just, oh, you're going on holidays. Is there any room for me in your suitcase? No, of course there isn't, Mrs. Muldowney. Of course there isn't. And by the way, if there was, how's that going to work out? Oh, we're going to Disneyland and Mark, age 7, has a fucking asphyxiating geography teacher in his Samsonite. Do you know what I mean? We're hardly going to... Do you expect us to wait at the arrivals in Florida in some sort of Floridian airport in the arrivals hall for some suitcase to come out with a crumpled up primary school teacher in the bag? That sort of, oh, will you clean it after me? Brilliant. No, I won't. Fuck off, Deirdre. Your husband left you. That's... Because it was comments like this, okay? That's why Eamon left. That's why he started working late, okay? That's why he started saying that golf games took 11 hours, okay? That's why he is a fucking personal... Don't curse. Too much cursing in this podcast. Okay, now, Kieran, I've got one for you, right? Kieran doesn't know about this story that I'm about to tell him, so I'm watching him to see his eyes melt. Well, or like just his head explode. Okay, so when I was chatting to my sister yesterday. I told her I'm doing a roast of neighbours this week. She told me a story that is honestly so... I tried to convince her to come onto the podcast. She would say no, of course. She told me this story that has blown my mind. This is the greatest revenge story I've ever heard in my life. So, the parents of her friends, okay, lived in this estate for like 40 years, became best friends with, you know, a few different couples in the estate. Invited, like, they've known these families for like 20 years. Invited them over for dinner one evening, four of the couples. So five couples in total, okay? That's 10 people. They invite four of the couples over for dinner. They have a lovely evening. Everything goes well, blah, 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 whatever. They leave. When they leave, okay, the wife notices that she had this like display box of cutlery that she had been given when her mother died. So like a family heirloom. You know those, like, it's sort of a 90s thing in Ireland. You know the way they have, people would have, you go into your granny's dining room and there'd be like this, like a felt display with like three spoons in it. You know those things? But so she had one of those, but it was like really, really expensive and it would have been given to her by her mum and her mum had died. It not related to the spoons, you know? But her mum was spooned. No, but anyway, okay. So they realised that they're gone. They'd been pilfered. They'd been stolen. Obviously, horrendous, the sense of betrayal. You know, it had to be one of the couples, whatever. So they send out a message to everybody going, listen, this is really awkward, but we noticed that the spoons are gone. It was obviously one of you. Maybe it was an actor. I think they took that approach. Like somebody obviously accidentally brushed them into their bag or what have you. And everyone was like, yeah, no, don't know what you're talking about. Don't know what you're talking about. Whatever. Point blank, no. So she's like, okay, this is like, we need them back. We need them back. Like, guaranteed we need them back. So they plead and plead. Doesn't get them anywhere. Eventually they just reach out and go, look. And they message each of the couples. They go, look, really, really need to, like, I need you to know that we don't care who sold them, but we just need this back. Like, this is my mum, her legacy, all the rest. We have phoned up, I think was like the Intercontinental Hotel in Dublin, right? We phoned up this hotel and we've agreed to them, if one of you wants to just drop back the cutlery in the next month, they will just contact us when they've been returned. We don't need to know who it is. We don't care. We won't take any further action. We just need to get the spoons back, right? So anyway, that's fine. Send out the message. Everyone replies, no, wasn't us. Anyway, they get a call from the hotel a couple of weeks later to say, listen, the spoons have been returned. Wait for it. They told each couple a different hotel.
Genius.
Let's go.
Genius.
How fucking satisfying is that? I just got frisson on the back of my neck. I'm semi-erect at the moment. Kieran, take your blouse off. Isn't that just...
Genius.
So good. Let's be honest, probably not true. I don't even have a sister. Next. Next.
I hope Mrs. Jollies doesn't mind me quoting the Jollies here, but we had neighbours for a few years who, at a certain time, the lady of the neighbours would get very, very loud when she was getting her Jollies. My God, the noise was like, whew, it would deafen you. So much so that our neighbours 2 doors down could hear every single thing.
When she says every single thing, like, is she talking about, like, I mean, what is she talking about here? Like, is she...
Every single thing?
Yeah, but, like, loud sex is absurd. Just stop. Just stop. I don't believe anyone's enjoying sex that much. Well, I remember staying in a hostel in Croatia. And actually, incidentally, I'd stood on a sea urchin that evening. Oh, let's go skinny dipping and be hedonistic and fun-fueled. No, I hate this. I hate fun. I hate skinny dipping. I hate all this. And also, by the way, I don't particularly enjoy Croatia. It's just filled with Australian backpackers and bad food. I'm not a fan. But I remember going back to a hostel one night and this guy in the hostel, they had sex in the bathroom. Like, we were staying in this dorm. They had sex for, I swear to God, 6 hours. Stop.
How?
You cannot be that horny. You genuinely cannot be that horny. Like,
it'd be raw.
Ah, Carol.
It would.
Everything would be raw.
All of the above.
So just like, yeah, if she can hear every single thing, that is, I just believe that people, it's like people, you know, people that make that much noise during sex, it's performative, it's fake. It's almost like, you know, whenever you grow up and those lads will be like, Jesus. You know, you go into a disco or something, like, you know, Hannah Johnson's going tonight. Oh, is she? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, she's a dancer, right? So you know what that means? No, I don't actually. I don't know what. Well, you know, she's obviously lethal in the sack. How does that work out? Just because she can do the fucking worm at a junior disco, why is she all of a sudden going to be like this expert at intercourse? I don't. Well, you know, she's twins. What? The O'Donoghue girls are coming. They're twins, are they? Yeah. You know what that means? No, they're filthy in the labba. Why are you doing the Irish thing? That's a bit cringe. You're like every business in Ireland using the word "graw" these days. Can we talk about that, actually? What is this? This word... And by the way, I did Honours Irish for the Leaving Cert, and I love Irish, and I believe that I don't enjoy this idea that Irish is an old language and it needs to be etched out of society and education. I completely disagree with that, and I have very strong opinions on that. However, I do not like hipster cafes just saying, "Made with graw." Brilliant. It was made by a wanker with a mustache who went to a private school, but he adopts an inner city accent to make him more likable. Do you know? Meanwhile, Megan gets guff because he retains the pomposity. It's bullshit, I tells you. Anyway, Kira, where were we? I just don't, you know. Oh, well, she's a twin. Is she? Well, that means she's lethal in the pit. Does it? Does that mean she's lethal in the pit because she is an identical sibling? How does that work out? Twins don't just automatically practice on each other growing up. And even if they did, I don't know. Moving on.
Hi, Mark. So we lived in an absolute kip in Rathgar. It was an old house converted into two apartments. We were downstairs and they were upstairs. And we lived there first. They moved in. She was on her own. So we didn't know there was a boyfriend, so there was no noise, like you couldn't hear anything. And then I met her in the hallway and she said, oh, he's been in America, like on, I don't know what he was doing, a sabbatical or something. So as soon as he came back, it was twice a day, every day, and they would keep their windows open as well. So like in the garden, you could hear her screaming. She would call him Mr. America over and over again. But it got really bad, like, we couldn't invite anyone around to the house because every time they came, you'd hear the floorboards start to go and you'd be like, oh, let's go for a walk. But there was various incidences the whole time, so there was loads of things like, they would say, like, you would hear one of them screaming, like, mind my ass. I don't know who that was, her or him. And there was also another time where it was, get the... they're the good towels. Like she'd be like, no, they're the good towels. just after a session. But Mr. America was only probably for a few months after he came back and then that stopped. Okay, thanks.
thank you very much. Few things to discuss here, okay? Firstly, mind my ass is just always good advice. I think it's just always sound advice, no matter what the context, everybody should just be minding their ass. Now, let's get into this Yankee doodling. As they'd say, Mr. America. Okay, firstly, there's prudish, okay? There is prudish. And then there is refusing to invite neighbours round for fear that they may hear your neighbours having intercourse. I mean, how voracious was this sex that they're sort of... I'm picturing... Does anybody remember the movie Jumanji? Of course they do. It's an iconic movie of the 90s and the demographic of this podcast. We're all alive during the 90s, Mark. So stop asking redundant and utterly foolish questions of the dear listener. Yes, Jumanji. You know the scene in Jumanji when, like, they'd be in the room and they'd be waiting for the stampede? And they'd be like, did you roll the dice? And then, like, the lamp would start shaking and the floorboards would start going. That I'm just imagining, is that what she was like when she'd have, you know, Kenneth and Joanne over for afternoon tea and upstairs Mr. America would be having some afternoon ghee? Brilliant. The maturity knows no bounds, my boy. So I just think, yeah, like the sex must have been that loud. What really interests me in terms of the sex with the Mr. America is that's a lot of syllables. Like, I'm just trying to think about the rhythm there, Kieran. Bend over. Just... mind your ass, Kieran. Moving on.
So we lived in an apartment building and there was this little old Mexican lady who lived beside us. And I guess our bedroom wall was connected to her bedroom wall. And it was nearly every weekend at like 3 o'clock in the morning, she would have the fucking loudest sex, like screaming the place down. And I don't know how many times we had to like bang on the wall to get her to stop. The weirdest thing is I don't think we've ever seen a guy go in or out of there. So she was clearly living there on her own. It was just wild. But I was happy when we moved out of there.
Is there a slight bit of shade there at the end saying, you know, we've never seen a guy go in or out of there. So she's clearly living on her own. Is she insinuating that this lady is somehow sort of loose because that she's not in a committed relationship? Or is she suggesting that the woman is just pleasuring herself? Again, it comes back to, by the way, Mexican or otherwise, and age irrelevant, as we all know, sex transcends all boundaries, my friends. Age, time, gender, creed, it does not matter. We are all deserving of life's greatest pleasure. I don't believe that the shouting at the top of your voice, it's just too much. It's just too much. No one's ever that horny. No one's ever. And if I would actually make the case for real horniness on a real primitive level, lowers the tone. That's when people go, oh, fuck. Do you know what I mean? Think about that. Think about the most perverted people that you know. For instance, Kieran, go in and look above the sink in the bathroom mirror. Brilliant. I'm just excusing you now, being a pervert. You know, when people get really perverted, usually it's, oh, Jesus. Rather than like, ay, caramba. You know, also speaking of ay, caramba, or ay, carumbi pumpy, as our beloved Mrs. Jollies might say, who, by the way, has been very quiet of late. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
We haven't heard from her. Guys, Mrs. Jollies, if you're out there, we should have like a bat sign, you know, like the bat. Like
a big cock in the air.
Told you he's a pervert, guys. Move on. It's not all sex noises and stuffed condoms. There are also some more interfering neighbours that we're going to get stuck into now.
Hi, Mark. So we had a neighbour in the 90s who would take in my mum's clothing parcels if we weren't there when the postman came. Nothing wrong with that. Very neighbourly thing to do. But then she'd leave them back a couple of days later and it would be very evident that absolutely everything had been opened and tried on. And she would blame her husband and say that he had opened them accidentally, saying that they were, I think that they were hers. But like, what was he trying them on? Just absolutely mental. They also didn't have a phone, so they would land round to our house at all hours of the day and night to ask to use our phone instead to phone taxis and all this nonsense. And our houses were semi-detached, so the two back doors were facing each other with a very low wall in between. And my mother got to the point where my mother couldn't walk out our back door without the neighbour spotting her and coming out and sitting chatting to her for half an hour, 40 minutes, an hour. And it got so bad that my dad actually built a higher wall between our two houses just so we could have a bit of privacy. They eventually moved out very quickly and mysteriously, like literally kind of there one day, gone the next. And the new neighbours who moved in, who, thank God, were nice people, said that for ages afterwards, they would get like unpaid credit card bills and final payment demands addressed to the previous neighbours, who had obviously just done like a nightly flit and didn't bother to leave a forwarding address with any of the credit card companies that they had cards out with.
Okay, first things first, somebody wrote in last night, if you think that's bad about the envelopes, somebody wrote in to say that they had a dispute with their neighbours. The neighbours ended up leaving, okay, and selling their house, but they turned a radio on full blast before leaving. And then just locked the doors and left.
That's petty.
Like, that is really bad. Now, her husband is definitely trying on your jocks. That's a fact. I think this is one of those ones for me where it's like, it should only happen once. Like, if I got a bag back, if I had a parcel back, if one of my neighbours presented a parcel of something that I'd ordered where the clothes had clearly been tried on, I think you're well within your rights to just address it immediately. They do say like a nightmare. The whole chatting at every time you see them is something that in life, by the way, I think is more of it's a bigger problem than we ever talk about. Like, you have to establish rules early on with people in life, whether they're friends or whether they're friends of friends, where if you move to a new area, this happened to me when I moved into Dunleary after living in the UK. You know, you see somebody, the first time you do the stop and chat, you go, how are you? Oh, Jesus, Graham, yeah, I haven't seen you in years. What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You do that chat, the real awkward. Oh, it's nice here, isn't it? What are you up to yourself? Working from home much? Brilliant. Yeah. Any holidays booked? Yeah, we're thinking of doing Croatia. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. You know, all that sort of stuff. Then the next time you see them, if they're on the other side of the road, you don't cross, you raise your arm to a sort of 90 degree angle, like you're Richard Nixon getting off the plane. You just go, how are you? And then you have to, at that stage, you have to point towards wherever you're going just to make, you know, you say, look, I'm just heading to, good to see you though. And that's the second stage. And then the third stage is just, how are you? But you don't need to make an excuse as to where you're going. And the fourth and final stage is just a mild acknowledgement. Hiya. We don't need to pretend. We do not need to pretend there was more here. So don't fucking talk to me, Kieran, basically, if I ever see you in Super Value. Next up.
I literally wrote a book on my neighbour, but one of the worst things she's ever done was got a block of wood with nails in it and put it behind the wheels of my sister's tyres of her car. So when she reversed, it would burst all her tyres. But luckily, we caught it in time. We were able to remove it before my sister reversed. She's also
called the revenue on my brother's company and accused him of doing Nixers illegally when he'd just call over and visit me for a cup of tea, and then ring the guards on him once because he had his 10-year-old son in the car without a car seat. So she's very tough work.
I mean, the nails in the tires is, that's not really like, oh, he borrowed the bloody lawnmower and he won't return it, or they had one house party. That's, they tried to kill me. I think that's just complete, like, that there's a level here. There are levels with all this sort of stuff, and that one is way beyond my pay grade. That is a attempt on your own life, on your sister's life. In keeping with this sort of newfound tradition of complete and utter loons, here's one that's equally up there and above and beyond my pay grade in terms of reacting to, because it's just completely criminal and insane.
Hi Mark, great podcast, and especially love the title this week. It has triggered a lot of haunting stories in our household. One in particular being that our neighbours, who are still our neighbours, try to kill our dog by throwing lumps of bread over the wall with poison in it, which luckily our dog did not eat. They also tried to prevent my brother driving his work truck home, as they told us that it lowered the tone of the road. So they made their point very clear when they called in and asked him to refrain from driving it home. When he refused, a few days later, the truck showed up vandalised. So yeah, no prizes for guessing who that was. And yeah, they've still gotten away with both of these incidents, along with a lot more.
Okay, this is brilliant and just stunningly bananas. I mean, poisoning the dog, crazy, cracked, completely absurd. How did they find out that it was poisoned? That's what I want to know. Did they do, like, you know, did they have some sort of, did they have a sniffer dog? Which would be a little twist of irony if the sniffer dog OD'd on the drugs that he was testing. But, you know, how do they test this? Do they have, is their son Dexter? Do you remember Dexter's laboratory? Somebody asked me this once. How did Dexter fund all of that insanely expensive lab gear and equipment? Anyway, completely insane. The work van lowering the tone, I think, is the most, like, that is the snobbiest thing I've ever heard in my life. And if anything, that's given me the idea, potentially we should do a full roast of snobbery.
Oh, brilliant. It would just be a podcast about you, Mark.
Brilliant, Mrs. Maloney. Thank you for that. Fill up another Johnny there and throw it over the jacks. Throw it over the hedge. Yeah, completely bananas. Completely insane. Keeping up with the canine conundrums.
Well, Mark, how are we getting on? The worst, I think, case, this friend of mine, his neighbour, you know, they got a friend got a new dog, whatever, dog was barking. The neighbour was keeping note of it for ages. Ended up trying to bring him to court over it. The judge, you know, seeing it come in, just started laughing and said, like, I'm not doing anything here. Struck it out. Anyway, he was down in the pub then a couple of days later, and driving in the pub was ripping the piss out and saying, I did, nothing was done to you, nothing was done. And he went home and tried to shoot at the dog in the garden after a good few pints. Missed, obviously. And then he went and rang the guards on himself. Next one, we seen the guards pull up outside. We'd never heard anything, with music playing and stuff. And the guards pulled up outside, we seen them, and a load of us went running off up the back behind the house. But that was why they came in to check that everything was okay and nothing had happened. We'll talk about another.
This is like an excerpt from, this is like a deleted scene from The Banshees of Inisherin. Do you know what I mean? The Irish guy is infuriated with the local dog, okay? Takes dog owners to court. The judge laughs him out of the courtroom. And then he then goes down to the local pub where all the lads are slagging him for not, you know, receiving or achieving the justice that he believed he was deserving of. And then he goes home, attempts to shoot the hound, misses by a country effing mile, and then turns himself in to the police. It's brilliant. It writes itself. Keep going.
Hi, Mark. So I think growing up, everyone dreaded our house because every time a football came into the garden, my mother had great pleasure in getting a knife and sticking it in the ball and puncturing the ball. Goes to say, people still remember that to this day.
Okay, I'm going to reply to that with two stories, right, Kieran? First things first, the knife in the ball is perverted and it's concerning, and it's a sign that I believe that would be like a very, that is a worrying character trait. You know, they say with psychopaths, like psychopaths apparently all
display harming animals as kids. Or it's like really common for psychopaths to have harmed animals as kids, okay? So if that's like entry-level psychopathy, surely stabbing footballs is like just a few grades below that. You know, your mum is a bit mad. Secondly, in terms of balls, okay? Guys, I need to tell you this story. And I was telling Darren this on the weekend in the car, in the car, and she nearly crashed because she was so disgusted. And not disgusted, by the way, in a it's not a willy-willy bum-bum story, but it's just, okay, long story short, when I was in school, there was a, it was a rugby school, okay? No, I wasn't a good rugby player, before you ask. I did score a try in the 13s Cup, though. They brought me on sort of as a commissioner, we'll give him a game against, I think it was like we were playing the worst school and the competition was over, so it didn't matter whether we won or lost, and they gave me the number 31. I scored a try. Let's fucking go. So, anyway, still trying to prove myself. Anyway, long story short, on a Saturday morning in my school, there was lots of different rugby matches going on, and up in the back pitch, okay, the senior team were playing, and this guy got tackled and he dislocated his hip and like fucking screaming on the floor, all the rest. They called the ambulance, but then this old fella on the side goes, oh yeah, like, these things happen all the time. Just let me go on there. I'll be able to, you know, let me go on and I'll be able to, I'll just pop it back in for him. Are you sure? Like, yeah, I'm a surgeon. He was probably a tree surgeon, this guy, okay? So anyway, he walks onto the pitch. Wait for this now, Kieran. And he pops your man's hip back into place. But when the guy was lying down, his testicles had moved over to the right side and subsequently got caught between the hip and the hip bone when he popped it back into place, and the ball got crushed. Apparently you could hear the screams as far as Vincent's.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What was the aftermath?
That's it. That's the end of the story. With any good urban myth, Kieran, that's definitely untrue. I don't even have a sister. With any good story, it goes as far as the crescendo, and that's the end of it. There's never a part two. Let's play the music, baby. Kieran has just told me that this section is the Willy Willy Bum Bum section, but he said it's not really the Willy Willy Bum Bum section, although there are a couple of willies floating around, which sounds like, you know, I suppose the worst advertisement for a gay bar. Do you know what I mean? A real low-key effort at marketing. Just like, look, we're not going to make any promises, but there are a couple of willies floating around. So Kieran is now the new head of marketing for the George. They've headhunted him. Anyway.
So I was 12. We moved into a rental property while we were waiting for our new home to be renovated. And when I used to come in from school, I'd run up the stairs and our landing window at the top of the stairs looked directly onto the next door neighbour's landing window. So I'd come out of the bathroom and I'd be going back downstairs again, and I'd look and there would be our next door neighbour standing stark naked at his landing window as I popped down the stairs.
Yeah, that's perverted. I mean, what are the laws around exposing yourself from your house? I don't know why I expect Kieran to be super well read in this. Well, according to section 4, if you've still got your socks on, it doesn't count as exposing. But, you know, that is just grotesque. Another funny story, actually. When we went to Spain when we were kids, and we went with our families, and a friend of mine, there was like in the apartment complex, there were two swimming pools, and in between the two swimming pools, there was all that like horrendous grass that to walk on with bare feet as a boy was akin to walking on a field of plugs now. You know, Spanish grass. Hardest thing in the world, by the way, Spanish grass. Have you ever walked on that barefoot? Like hot coals. After you've just jumped out of the pool. You're about to go over and have some Lay's crisps or one of those Maxi Bon Spanish ice creams, and then you nip across the grass and your feet are in. Anyway, we were at the pool and a friend of mine, there was a couple of saunas in between the two pools. Bear in mind, this is like a family apartment complex. And he nipped over in the middle of the day and there was just a guy, like a middle-aged man, just sitting there, stroking himself.
Oh.
Yeah. They never caught him in the end, thankfully. So, no. No, okay. Anyway. On we go.
Hey, Mark. We had a horrible neighbour that used to dry his grey old jocks on our shared wall. It's disgusting.
Yeah, like, does he only have one pair of jocks? Like, what's going on? And no, just, again, we'll have a conversation. How are you? Agreement. Yeah, listen, would you mind not drying your jocks on the bathroom wall?
Huh?
Yeah, would you mind just not drying your dirty or clean jocks against the wall? It's a visual stain on the senses and I'd prefer not to have to observe it every day. Thank you, Garamila. There's the Irish again.
Hey, Mark, I have a story about one of my mum's neighbours. When I was in my early 20s, we kept finding my underwear missing from the washing line. So we went out and purchased the stormproof pegs, because we thought that's why they kept going missing. Until one day, I went out and found the youngest son, who was 14, 15 years of age, with my underwear and the stormproof pegs in his hand. He said to me that he had come into the garden to get a slitter and had knocked the underwear off, therefore he was fixing them back up. The slitter was in his pocket at the time, as he continued to argue with me as I told him to put the underwear down and get into his own garden. As he argued, he eventually then climbed back over the 7-foot fence that he initially climbed after the about 5 minute standoff. Then that evening, when my father went in to let his parents know what had happened, he denied being in our garden, he denied speaking to me, and he denied having my underwear. But it's safe to say that after that day, my underwear never went missing again.
Okay, firstly, you could see the slitter in his pocket. Were you sure that was the slitter? Put the underwear down and get back over the wall. Or what you say, put the knickers down and get back over the wall is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Like, you're scolding him. I mean, he has no choice but to deny. He has no choice but to deny. I do feel sorry for the man. In the sense, this is probably, you have to remember the exoticism attached to your smalls. You know, this is probably his gate. This is his entrance into the world of, I don't know, attraction and whatnot. And there's something about your, you know, yeah, your jocks on the line that, you know, are giving him something. I feel sorry for the child. I also feel sorry for you because nobody deserves to have their smalls robbed. But I think all in all, it's a bit of crack. I won't say you should feel flattered because there's, you know, not necessarily something flattering about wanting to sniff the seat of your underwear. But still, it could be worse. If he was 53, you know, there's a bit more innocence in this context. On we go.
Hi, Mark. So I've had the unfortunate experience of living beside this neighbour for most of my life. And bear in mind now, she's quite a round-bellied woman. But she likes to cut her lawn, baps out, with just a tiny pair of black knickers on. And sometimes she likes to time this so that she's in the front garden when the school bus for the primary school drives by, and she has basically traumatised not only my family, but all of the kids in our area. So yeah, she's a bit of a nutshell.
Okay, firstly, give me the air code. And secondly, I do not believe that she times it, okay? And that she mows the lawn in the front garden, baps out. I don't believe that. Like, I'd love to. I would love to think that that is true. But I just don't think that there is a woman out there, man, woman or child, who wants to mow their grass in the front garden with the milkers out. Guys, I think we're going to have to do a part two of Neighbours, because I'm not even through 10% of the stories and they're still coming in. However, thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate it. Thank you to everybody for enjoying the podcast. Please continue to share it with your friends. If you're enjoying listening to the show, do me a favour and rate it wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the visibility of the whole thing. And last but not least, thank you again to everyone who's bought the book. I will stop plugging it very soon, but I just want to say thank you so much. If you haven't bought it and you'd like to support me, if you'd like to read the book, you don't need to be an alcoholic to read the book. You don't need to think you're an alcoholic to read the book. It is just story about ultimately self-discovery and I suppose learning how to build a bit of a relationship with oneself. Anyway, thank you so much to everyone who's read it already, and if you haven't, the link is in beneath this podcast. You can get yourself a copy. It will be with you tomorrow if you order it today. I hope you're doing okay. Have a good week, and I'll speak to you very soon. All the best.